Good evening, everybody. We haven't got a lot of time today, especially because there is a very important game. Yes, yes, a very important game today.
Yeah, we have another shiur after this.
Yes, a special shiur.
What time is the game?
Nine. Ask him. I don't know.
9 o'clock.
I know it's England and Croatia.
9 o'clock.
Okay, we have this week two parshiot, Matot Masei, which are finishing the book of Bamidbar, and then next week we'll start Sefer Dvarim. And there is a lot to talk about, especially if there are two parshiot together, and we cannot talk about everything. So I want to start with something that is like from the middle of the parsha, though that usually we talk about the Masa'ot of Bnei Israel, the journeys they had, and of course about keeping your mouth, keep your words, which is the beginning of our parshat of Matot. But first of all, I want to start with this thing with Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Lamed Aleph.
What's the number?
Lamed Aleph, Yud Dalet.
31.
Yudalet, 14, Pasuk 14. Perek Lamed Aleph.
Pasuk
Yudalet.
Aleph or Yudalet?
Dalet.
Oh, we are getting on.
Lamed Aleph, Pasuk.
Yudalet.
Yosef, help him find him.
You want me to help him to find?
No, I cannot see. It's too.
Too small?
Take a bigger one. Take this.
This is bigger?
No, he likes these.
Okay. Maybe you want my glasses also?
Yeah, maybe.
Here is not small.
Yeah. It's the same size that here.
Yes?
אוקיי, ויקצוף משה על פיקודי החיל שרי האלפים ושרי המאות הבאים מצבא המלחמה. משה רבנו is how do we say, is angry about not fulfilling the what they supposed to do, and it's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is angry. This is something that you shouldn't get to a level of being angry. And what's happening here is also because he's getting angry, he forgets about the how do you purify all the tools that were touched by the goyim, or you took as from them at the war. How do you purify them? And instead of him saying it, who is saying it?
Eliezer.
Why? What happened? Because he was so angry that he forgot the laws of the purifying the kelim.
Who forgot?
Moshe.
Actually,
but of course,
it's like
it sounds good.
Old age.
Old age. Yeah. He is old. He's not young. But that's not the case. Is the Torah wants to teach us that when you are getting angry, it's going to influence you, and doesn't matter who you are. In other words, kas, anger, is a very problematic thing. They say kol akoes, kol mine geenom sholtim bo. Everybody who is angry, the kol mine geenom, all thoughts of gehenom, are going to control him.
But isn't that a human thing?
Of course, angry. That's exactly the point.
That's
we have a lot of things of the human nature that are not good.
Not right, but exactly. You do, you have them.
Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you want? A better example?
No,
Moshe Rabbeinu himself is angry. But why is he angry? God is telling him, go and fight this last war with Midian, and after this war, what happens to you?
You will
die.
You die. So every normal guy will postpone things, you know, and if they did something wrong, okay, so what's that? I've got more years to live till they fix it. But he wants it to be done right now on the spot. Because God wants him to do it, he has to do it now. And he's getting angry about what? About them not fulfilling exactly what he told them to do, though that if they would have fulfilled exactly what he told them to do, what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu? He would die, he'd pass away. So who is going to get angry about a thing like this? Not a lot of people. But this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so if he was angry about a thing like this, why was he punished not remembering the laws of purifying Kelim? Why?
I give up.
You give up. It's not it's not a punishment.
Example.
It's not a punishment.
No.
It's a fact.
No.
You know what happens to you when you get angry? Do you know? Everybody knows.
You lose your sense of reason.
Yeah, and you do such stupid things that then you regret them, but
right.
You know, after the plate is broken, it's too late to regret it. It's broken.
You hear that?
She heard.
It can be a plate, it can be a glass, it can be something that you, because you did by mistake even, because you were so angry, you don't know what you do. So the Torah is telling us that anger has got nothing to do if your anger is for good reason or for a bad reason. As a fact, if anger is, it's got an influence on you. The same way when we eat something which is not good for us, it doesn't matter if we did it intentionally or not intentionally. It's going to have the influence. So why is the Torah telling us this? To know and understand how terrible it is to get to this mood of anger. To the level that even Moshe Rabbeinu, doing it from the best reason for God, not for himself, he was not angry for himself because he's going to die. He did it only for the honor of God. And even though he did it for the honor of God, still the Torah tells us it's not as he's wrong. It had an influence on him that he forgot the laws of purifying Kelim. And Rav Yitzchak Frand, as they are from the States, he gives a lot of examples about what is anger and how you control it or how you try to control it. Because a lot of times, things around you are happening and they have an influence on you, and sometimes you get angry on stupid things. Somebody didn't invite you for a wedding or for a bar mitzvah. I invited him, he didn't invite me, and you got angry. I'm not going to talk with him. And you know, what is the stupid thing about it? Sometimes he forgot. And it happens, you know, people forgot. You know, he's got 100 people to invite, or 150, or 200. And by mistake, he forgot you. Not intentionally, because with all the things, we all know we have a function. It's a madhouse sometimes.
Then it's worse. Why?
Why did he forget me?
How is it possible that he forget you?
That's what I'm saying. How could he forget you?
He can forget somebody else, but not you.
Why didn't he forget me? And I don't know if I told you, I have a very good friend, and I invited him to one of my son's wedding, and I remember to invite him, but I didn't remember to put him on the table.
Okay.
I know.
Yes, I saw it.
We had that with Jed, I remember that time.
I had that with him.
Imagine to yourself, you come to a wedding, and everybody's got his card or on the computer, whatever they do.
Right. Yeah.
And you see, your name is not there.
It happens.
You know, some people get insulted. They just do 100 and go out, and that's it. Nothing happened, and they don't talk with this guy.
Never
finished. Now, when you hear the story from others, it says, okay, how could it happen? Here it happened. A very good friend of mine. You know, with all the hustle and bustle, when you
it
know,
happened
when
with
put
me,
people.
I'm telling you.
It happened to me. And now he comes to me. Lucky enough that he came to me, he says, you know, I cannot find my name on the table where I'm sitting. He says, okay, let me check. I go in there, I see. And I ask the girl with the name, where is this? It's not on the list. He says, what do you mean it's not on the list? Quickly find me a place. I was lucky enough that there was one table, that there was one place still to put. So I quickly put the name in and put it. I found it here. It's, you know, it's, okay. But it happens. Mm-hmm. We are only human beings.
Right.
I know from the other side, you get angry on things. There's no reason to get angry. Now, you have to understand and realize, when you get angry, it's not only that you sometimes getting into places where you don't want to be. Afterwards, well, why did I do this, you know? And so what do we do? How do we act in order to at least try and control anger? They tell about this rabbi, one day a couple came to him, says, every day we have a row. I don't know what to do. And we row him all the time.
Row.
Row, right.
Very British. Yeah.
He says, okay, I've got a solution for you. I give you a special bottle with water, and every time that you get angry, you take... Yes, please, thank you.
While you're about to get angry.
Yeah.
Before you get angry.
You drink the water.
Don't swallow it. Keep it in your mouth.
Special medicine for anger. Do it for a few minutes, and then you come down. And it works. It's like they had this rabbi, every time he got angry, he used to have a special code for when he got to a mood of being angry. He had a special code for anger. So he was hanging it in the cupboard, and every time he got angry, he used to go to the cupboard and put the code and says, now I can be angry. But you know, the idea is very simple. Stop. Before you open your mouth, start shouting, stop. Stop for a few minutes. Count to 10, do whatever. Now, if you cannot do this, and you're really somebody with a very
strong temper,
so what do? Have a special room. Put there, if you want, a big mirror. A
couple of dishes.
Or a big mirror. And when you want to shout, go in front of the mirror and shout and look at yourself how you look when you shout.
Wow.
This will calm you down in 2 minutes.
If I look at myself,
and if this doesn't
really
help, you know, you have those things that you bang them? How do you call it in
English?
Symbols?
From box.
For boxing.
Oh,
this,
the boxing.
Yes.
Boxing.
So you put this in...
sand.
By the way, I did it for our son. He was he had very bad temper sometimes, so we used to have in the room this thing to...
Boxing.
So he used, the box, so he used to come down this way.
To release the anger.
So there are solutions. But the main thing is, you should come down, you should first of all stop yourself. Because the minute you stop yourself, you start thinking, you will realize that sometimes maybe there was no inner... Somebody told me very interesting, says, you know what I do? When I get angry about something, I'm asking myself, would I be angry about this in 2 weeks' time?
Mm-hmm.
Would I be angry about this in 2 days? Would I be angry about it in 3 hours? Says no. So why should I be angry now? So
the answer is yes.
So I told, go to the room and start banging the stand. That's exactly what I'm... You see, when we go to a mood of anger, we do stupid things.
Yeah.
And then later on we regret it. So if we have bad temper, we can control it if we find a solution or a way that is going to calm us down in a certain way. This is about anger, to understand and realize that it doesn't matter, even if it's for the best reason in the world, it still will have an influence on you, so you have to control it. One of the figures, by the way, that they said it controlled it 100% was Hillel. Hillel, nobody could...
anger him.
It's funny.
And there are a lot of stories with him.
I have
about
a nephew
this.
With the name Hillel, and also, yes, he has the best disposition of all the children that might.
So maybe we have to call the
Hillel.
Children Hillel.
Right. That's exactly
okay.
Why he has a very good disposition.
This is just only a few. There are a lot of things to talk about, but I want to talk about the other things in the Parsha. So this is like the point of anger, to understand and realize that anger has got nothing to do if it's right or wrong. Anger is a bad thing. And we have to try and control it.
Okay.
How we control it, everybody can find a system.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is very simple. You get angry, first of all, stop before you open your mouth. There is this famous story in the Gemara, about this guy who went away for a few years, and because of work, whatever, and then he comes home, and from the window he sees his wife with a younger young man. And she's hugging him. And says, "What? I'm leaving her home for a few years, and she found her a lover or whatever." The first thing, the instinct was, he goes there and he kills this guy, kills them both, whatever. Then he remembers his father, before he died, told him, "I want you to promise me something. Before, if you see something is going to get you angry, sleep on it. Don't do anything before you sleep on it." In other words, something happens in the middle of the day, you sleep it over, the next morning, you do whatever you want to do. So, he didn't do anything, and says, "I have to sleep on it." And then, he goes home, and he sees this guy is there, and says, "Hey, meet your son." He was living for, let's say, 10 years or whatever. His wife was pregnant, and this was his son. And if he would have acted on the spot, who knows what would happen? So those are stories that are, let's say, today they won't happen because people don't leave home for so many years. But at the old times, people for Parnoso had to go far away to faraway places, and the places they had to stay for years. For the same thing is in the army, you know. Here the soldiers that are used to, every 3 weeks they go home. You know, in the old times,
it's like the Russian army.
Soldiers used to go, they come back after 2 years.
Right. The Egyptian army too, they used to go in the Sinai. They were there for...
Yeah, Egyptians.
They
I know, sometimes it was going on for years. And so the idea is very simple. If you act on the spot, sometimes you do such stupid things, so try and control yourself. It's not easy. That's why the Torah is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, not somebody else. Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, of course it will get angry.
He also got angry when he
hit the rock.
There are 3 times he got angry. Right. And in those 3 times he forgot the halacha. That's what they say.
He forgot
the halacha.
He forgot to talk to the rock.
Yes.
Remember, he hit it right.
That's exactly. And we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Not one time he was angry for himself. It was always for God. So the big lesson here is that certain things we have to get so far away from, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. So even if you have to be angry for God, you do it only from the outside, not from the inside. For example, if you teach somebody, you are a teacher. Sometimes you have to get angry about somebody is doing naughty things. You have to be angry about it. So it says the anger should be an outside thing, not an inside. You should show him an angry face, but inside, keep calm. Because it's a difficult thing, yes. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm sure that we won't, let's say, we'll be angry 10 times, but even if we control it one time, we already got something. So if we know, so the first thing is to know that there is that the fact is that everybody can get angry. And the fact is that it doesn't matter for what reason, it's going to affect us. And when we're talking about getting angry, one of the things that get us very angry is when people promise us things and don't deliver. Especially now we are before elections, and everybody is promising what he's going to do in the town. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. And after the election, what happened? You can talk to the wall, the same thing. Nobody's there. And the Torah is telling us, "Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi Amatot Livnei Israel." The first pasuk of the parasha. "Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi Amatot Livnei Israel." So we don't understand who is he talking to. Is he talking to the heads
of the
tribes, or is he talking to Bnei Israel, to all of them? So there are a lot of explanation, but one of the things is, why do we separate them? Why is it not just written "Vaydaber Moshe el Bnei Israel" like it's always "Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi Hamatot Bnei Israel"? So one of the explanation is we're talking here, and that when you go on and we see what are we talking here about. Lo yachel devaro kechol ha'yotze mipiv yaseh. Lo yachel devaro. You promise something, you had a vow, you should keep to it. You promise something, you have to keep to it. Lo yachel devaro. So the Torah is telling us a few things. The first thing is, you are standing before an election and you want to be elected. So you open your mouth and you promise things. And you even swear, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And sometimes you've got no intention to keep it. Sometimes you cannot keep it as a fact because you haven't got the power to do whatever you promised. In any case, you should not promise something that you cannot deliver. And this is what the Torah is first of all talking, Daber el Hamrashei HaMatot. Because who has this problem? Not those who are normal, the leaders. They have the problem to promise and not deliver. So, first of all, God is talking to them. Talk to them and explain to them that if the power of speech, if they talk about something, they have to promise something only if they can deliver. If you cannot deliver, don't promise. Lo yachel dvaro kechol yoshtzei mipiv yaseh. And if you want to understand how important it is, the power of speech or promising things, how do we start Yom Kippur? Kol nidrei ve'esarei. In other words, before you stand in front of God, you have to make sure that you're not standing there with promises that were not kept. So you have to, first of all, cancel.
Nullify.
And cancel. You do atarat nedarim, which we also do on Rosh Hashanah morning, before Rosh Hashanah. Atarat nedarim, and then we do it on Yom Kippur itself, starting the whole day of Yom Kippur with kol nidrei ve'esarei ve'konaye ve'kinomei. Everything I promised, I'm asking you, God, to be forgiven, to be forgotten, that I'm canceling it, etc., etc., etc. So we understand that it's very important. Now, is it hard to cancel a vow, or is it easy? You promised something, you had a vow, I'm going to do this and that. Now you cannot do it. Is there an option to get out of it?
No, you have to have
atarat nedarim. You know what atarat nedarim is? What you do on Yom Kippur and what you do on Rosh Hashanah, you can do the whole year around. You take three adults, and they are the best team, and you tell them, you know, I had a vow to do this and that, and I cannot do it. I'm asking you to, I don't know how you say atarat nedarim. Atarat nedarim
to cancel.
Not, it's not cancel, it's to.
No.
No, notifying is not enough. It's la'atir et ha-neder. I don't know how you say it in English. La'atir is to untie the neder. Untie it. In other words, like you didn't do it. So how does it work? They ask, for example, they ask you, you had this thing that you said, I'm going to do this and that. And now you find it very difficult. Our question is, if you would have known the difficulties before, would you promise this or not? And if the answer is not, so okay, we allow you to. It's not. It's okay. You can go on with life. It's cancelled, and everything is okay. In other words, they look for an out way to find a reason that's going to work. If you knew the reason, if you would know the result, you wouldn't do the vow. So, is it difficult to do this?
Yes.
Was it so difficult? I stand in front of three people. I had a vow that I'm going to wake up in the morning every morning at 2 o'clock. I cannot do it. It's too hard for me. So I'm going to those three guys. I said, well, I took on myself something. I cannot do it. So they asked me, oh, if you would have known before that you could not go through it and it's going to make you very sad, would you have done it? And I say, no. Okay. This is hard?
No.
It's very easy. So I'm asking you now a question. If it's so easy, so from one side you tell me you should keep your words. From the other side you make it so easy to cancel what you promised. So what's going on here? Is it important or not? If it's so easy, so what would people do? Sunday they will promise things and Monday they will go to a base day and cancel it. So where is the importance of speech?
Right.
Where is the pasuk that tells you if you promise you should deliver? How do you deal with it?
But so intention. When you promise, intention, how you do it is important. Because Because don't forget that you have a base din here, but you have a base din upstairs.
The question is no gates. Why is the Torah making it so easy? If it's so important to keep your words, why is the Torah making it so easy to cancel what you promised? That's the question. By the way, this is one of the reasons that they explain Vayidaber Moshe el Rashi Amatot Libnei Israel, that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the heads, the leaders, and he's telling them the way to cancel a vow, but he's not telling it to Am Yisrael. To Am Yisrael is only telling the story that we see afterwards. If a woman is promising something that's going to affect the relationship between them, the father or the husband in certain cases can cancel it. But the Torah itself, like on the surface, is not talking about what we talked 2 minutes ago about canceling any vow. In other words, because Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want us to realize how easy it is to cancel whatever we promise, so we would go around promising promises and then not keeping them. And it's not, what's the problem? I go to 3 guys, ask them to cancel the vow, and everything is okay. Okay? So still, I'm asking now the question again.
Still the intention.
I'm asking the question again. If, okay, not telling, yes telling, okay, but the fact is that it's very easy to cancel a vow. Why?
Well, first of all, Kach Borchow doesn't want people to make promises and not be able and find that they can't do it and have no way of annulling it.
And
so he makes it easy.
Why? Because it's important or not important?
Of course it's important.
Because it's very important.
Yeah. And if they didn't nullify it, they would
if they don't have an escape, if they cannot, you see, it's so terrible to promise and not keep that God gave us a very easy way out. Why? Because God is merciful. And he knows that we sometimes promise things that we cannot keep. And if we will go around promising promises and then don't keep them, we are going to be punished severely. So God gave us a way out. The way out is very easy, but it's very easy for those who cannot keep the promises in order to get out of a situation they put themselves in. But you shouldn't put yourself in a situation like this. That's why the Torah is beginning. You should promise whatever you promise, you should keep. Lo yachel dvaro kol hayotze mipiv yase. You promise, you should deliver.
And when you say bli neder,
that's why you say bli neder.
That's
why you say bli
neder.
Then it's not a promise.
Ah.
That's why everything you do, you say bli neder, because this way you didn't, because it's so important, and we see how important it is because Yom Kippur starts with it. Kol nidre. You should keep your mouth. You should know what you talk about. So, the same way that some people ask why the Ashkenazim don't say Ashamnu Bagadnu every day. It's so important. Why do they say it?
Why the Sfaradim say it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, every day.
Well, then it's understandable.
They have a lot of sins, you
say. They say it twice a day.
What? They kidney.
So, why are the Ashkenazim not doing it? Because they don't care about it? It's not important, or
it's making it too.
Maybe it's so important that you cannot do it every day. Because if you do it every day, what happens?
You don't pay
any attention to it. It's got no meaning.
So then why did the
Sfaradim
do it?
Because they think that you can be with the Kavana every day. That's the everybody with desire. But there is an idea behind everything. They say it's very important. But it doesn't mean that we say it's not important. Because they look at Ashkenazim and says, they don't think it's important enough to say it every day, 2 times a day. It's
but
no
it's
good. So our answer is, that's the reason we don't do it every day, because we know how important it is, and we know that you cannot just do something like this every day.
I say before going to bed, it's not in the tefillah.
What?
In this?
In Sfarad, Nosach Sfarad, yes, Hashamnu Bagadnu, every day.
Ah, I see.
No, you cannot do this. It's only in a minion you do it.
do at night before bed.
No. That's something else. I'm talking about, there is a whole thing which is called Nefilat Apayim, Vidui. A part of it you can say by yourself, a part of it you can say only with the congregation. But the idea is that the Ashkenazim don't do a big part of it, and the Sfaridim do it, and everybody's got to read. The reason, by the way, is the same reason, but they don't realize it. That's because it's important. So the Sfaridim say it because it's important. We don't say it because it's important. Because there are two sides to the coin. In other words, what we are trying to say is that when we're talking about the power of speech, it's so strong that we have to keep. You remember I told you about this guy who was buried in Petah Tikva, the first guy, or he said 10 days before, he says, I'm willing to be the first guy to be buried in the cemetery in Zgula in Petah Tikva.
Yes.
And I still now I've got a picture here of this. It's unbelievable. I showed it to you.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And it's written on the tombstone. Here. On the tombstone, he was willing to, he said, I'm willing to be the first one to be buried here in the Bet Kvarot, and 10 days later, he was buried there. So you have to be very careful with what you wish for, and what you talk. Be careful with the power of speech. And this is the big lesson of our parsha. The power of speech, it's the greatest power that a human being's got. And this why you should use it wisely. And also, there's the Chafetz Chaim. What is lo yachel dvaro? Lo yechalel dvaro. You should act to the words in sanctify them. In other words, the power of speech is something to sanctify. It's not something to talk. Like, so unfortunately, you see, especially if you look in American films, half of the film is not nice words. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody who is not used to this language, he cannot believe that people talk like this.
Yep.
A Jew is not allowed to talk like this, because the power of speech, especially in the Jewish nation, is the power that we pray, is the power of Am Yisrael. So you should use it as a holy tool. You should talk nicely. Not only don't promise, not only not promising things that you cannot deliver, but also talk nicely. Don't curse. And also, don't say things that you shouldn't say because they can come true. Shkoyach.